Well, in the second part of our time together, we're going to consider Israel's familiar Exodus rejection. As Mark 5 to 8 goes on, we begin to see two opposing trends develop in the story. First, we see Jesus revealing his identity more and more clearly. In Mark 6, he does two amazing new Exodus miracles. First, he feeds the hungry in a new Exodus feast. In chapter 6, verse 30, he takes his disciples to a desolate place to rest a while. But when the crowds follow them, he doesn't just send them away. Instead, he feeds the whole group, 5,000 people in all, with just 5 loaves and 2 fish. Nearly everything about this miracle should remind us of the Exodus. The fact it happened in a desolate place, or literally in the wilderness. Remember, Israel traveled through the wilderness from Egypt to the Promised Land. The fact it was a miraculous feeding. Remember, in Exodus 16, God fed his people with supernatural manna from heaven. The fact that when Jesus saw the crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. In Numbers 27, the people of Israel had been described in exactly the same way, as sheep that have no shepherd. And later on in the Bible, in Ezekiel 34, God himself had promised to shepherd his people and to replace the bad shepherds who had led his people astray. Then there's the fact that there were 12 baskets of leftovers. Remember, it was the 12 tribes of Israel whom God brought out of Egypt. Indeed, throughout Mark 5 to 8, we've seen a whole series of different 12s. The woman with bleeding had suffered for 12 years. Jairus' daughter was 12 years old. In chapter 6, verse 7, Jesus sent out the 12 apostles. It tells us that he's doing a new Exodus for a new Israel. There's even another allusion to Psalm 107. Let me read to you from Psalm 107, verse 4. Again, you might want to turn there in your own Bible and see if it sounds familiar. Psalm 107, verse 4. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. It sounds just like Mark 6, doesn't it? The hungry wandering in desert wastes, finding nowhere that they might find refreshment. And the Lord God himself satisfying them and filling them with good things. Indeed, Mark even uses the same word as the Greek version of the psalm in verse 42 of Mark 6, when he tells us that all the people ate and were satisfied. He's not just telling us that they had a good square meal. It should remind us of Psalm 107, of the God who satisfies the hungry and fills them with good things. It's an incredible, compassionate new Exodus feast. And then in the next verses, Jesus reveals himself with God's signature Exodus name. In chapter 6, verse 48, he comes to his disciples walking on the sea, again proving his power to control the wind and waves. It should remind us of Exodus 14, when God divided the waters of the Red Sea to save his people from Pharaoh. In verse 50, Jesus makes the connection explicit when he says to his disciples, "Take heart, it is I," or literally, "I am." The same name with which God revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush. I am who I am. Having fed the hungry in a new Exodus feast, Jesus reveals himself with God's signature Exodus name, his revelation as the Lord God Almighty. Doing a new Exodus rescue is getting clearer and clearer. But in spite of his self-revelation, at the same time, we find Israel rejecting Jesus' rescue more and more blindly. In Mark 6, after all of Jesus' life-to-death miracles, we find people rejecting God's prophetic word from across the whole sweep of Israelite society. There's the people in Jesus' hometown in verses 1 to 6 who take offense at his message and say, "Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary and brother of James and Joses and Judas and Simon?" There are those in verse 11 about whom Jesus warns his disciples who will refuse to receive or listen to them. And then we have Herod, who goes even further by executing God's prophet when he beheads John the Baptist in verse 27. In some ways, it's a blindness Jesus predicted in Mark 4. Remember, in Mark 4, Jesus made a distinction between those on the inside and those on the outside. Those on the inside listen to him and pay attention to his word. But those on the outside don't. Instead, they hear the word, but it bounces off them. It makes no impression on them. They don't see the deeper meaning it reveals. In chapter 4, verse 12, Jesus said of these people that his teaching would be in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and indeed hear but not understand. In other words, they would still hear the audible sound of his words, but they would be blind to their meaning, unable to perceive or understand their significance. And that's exactly what we see playing out in Mark 6. Now, everyone in Mark 6 hears the words of Jesus. In chapter 6, verse 2, we're told that many who heard him were astonished. In chapter 6, verse 11, he warned his disciples about people who would not listen to them, people who would not hear them. And in verse 14, we're told that King Herod heard of it. And later on in verse 20, that when he heard John the Baptist, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. Everyone in Mark 6 hears the word. But unlike the good soil in Mark 4, they don't listen and bear fruit. Instead, they hear the word and reject it. In chapter 6, verse 3, we're told the people in Nazareth took offense at Jesus, or literally, they stumbled over him. It's the same word used in chapter 4, verse 17, to describe the seed on rocky ground, which grows up quickly but soon falls away. Herod, meanwhile, is a textbook example of a seed among thorns, of someone who hears the word gladly but gets choked by the desires of the world. He heard John the Baptist, and yet he put him to death because he wouldn't repent of his desire for his brother's wife. In some ways, then, Israel's blind rejection of Jesus' message is just what he predicted in Mark 4. But it's still shocking, isn't it? The Lord God himself, the Holy One of Israel, is in their midst doing his new Exodus work. And yet they refuse his rescue. And not only do they refuse his rescue, they set up their own rival banquets to replace his new Exodus feast. First, we get Herod's debauched hedonistic birthday party with John the Baptist's head on a platter served up as the main course. And then in chapter 7, we get the Pharisees and their picnic of puritanical religion and ritual washing. It shows us how ridiculous Israel's rejection is. Instead of coming to the Lord God himself for new Exodus life, they put their hope in hand washing and cleaning their dining couches. But it also shows us how ugly their rejection is. They have the merciful, gracious, new Exodus King feeding the hungry amongst them. And yet they choose Herod and his incestuous party, murder and lust. It makes you wonder, how can they be so oblivious to their own salvation when Jesus has revealed it so clearly? How can the best thing they have to say to God's new Exodus rescue be, have you washed your hands properly? How can they be so blind? Well, the answer Jesus gives in Mark 7 is because of their hearts. Israel's rejection is a blindness caused by our sinful hearts. Back in chapter 3, verse 5, when he was talking to the man with the withered hand, Jesus had been grieved at the Pharisees' hardness of heart. And now in chapter 7, he again goes straight to the heart to expose the cause of their rejection. In chapter 7, verse 6, he uses a quotation from Isaiah 29, when he says, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Like the people in Isaiah's day, they look good on the outside, but inside, their hearts are far from God and his work. A bit later on in the chapter, Jesus tells his disciples exactly what this means. In verse 21 and 22, when he says, "Out of the heart of man come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness." They're exactly the things we've seen from Israel in the section. I think Herod's party included every single one. You can go back and check. And the Pharisees, too, were guilty as charged. They've been plotting to murder Jesus since chapter 3, verse 6. And in 3:22, they slandered him as satanic. The reason they can't see the truth about Jesus is their hearts. Hearts which are so full of evil and sin that it blinds them to the truth in front of their noses. If they would only listen to Jesus, they would see that this is exactly the reason they need his rescue. These sinful hearts inside them are what truly defile them before God. Not their unclean hands or their dirty dining couches, but their hearts. Their hearts are the reason they need saving. But they won't accept Jesus' rescue, because the same hearts which defile them blind them to the truth. It's a blindness caused by our sinful hearts. But even more than that, it's a blindness caused by the same sinful hearts as Israel in the Exodus. It's not just a blindness then, but an Exodus blindness. As well as describing Israel's response in Jesus' day, all of these themes of hardness of heart and refusing to hear and blinded eyes should remind us of Israel in the first Exodus. Now just listen to Psalm 95 and how it describes the response of Israel back then, and see if you can spot any similarities with Mark 5-8. Psalm 95, verse 7. "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as on the day at Massa in the wilderness, when your fathers put me to the test and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work. For 40 years I loathed that generation and said, 'They are a people who go astray in their hearts, and they have not known my ways.' Therefore I swore in my wrath, 'They shall not enter my rest.'" You can hear all the themes from Mark 5-8, can't you? they heard his voice. Just as everyone hears the voice of Jesus in Mark 6. They hardened their hearts, just as the Pharisees did in Mark 3. They put God to the test. Remember the Pharisees in chapter 8 who come to Jesus demanding a sign from heaven. Israel's rejection of Jesus' rescue was an Exodus rejection. In chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus calls them this generation. Another reminder of Psalm 95, when God says, for 40 years, I loathed that generation, the generation that rebelled against him in the wilderness. The generation that rejected Jesus was just like them. Another wilderness generation who saw God's work and hardened their hearts. And therefore, just as God swore in his wrath to that first generation, they shall not enter my rest. So Jesus leaves his generation behind, departing from them in chapter 8, verse 13, and going away across the sea. It's a tragic response. The people of God rejecting their own salvation, and one we need to be careful and look out for. In chapter 8, verse 15, Jesus warns his disciples, saying, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Watch out for their influence. Don't become like them. But the shocking thing is that their blindness seems to be a blindness the disciples are in danger of sharing. A blindness the disciples are in danger of sharing. In spite of the fact that they're the insiders, the people to whom Jesus said, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom, the disciples seem to be just as blind as Israel, don't they? Throughout the section, they see the same miracles again and again. Twice they're in a boat when Jesus reveals his power over the water, and yet they're just as scared the second time as the first. Twice Jesus feeds a huge crowd of people before their very eyes, and yet they're just as doubtful the second time as the first. When he warns them about the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod, they start having a conversation about their lack of bread, even though Jesus has literally just fed 4,000 people in front of them. They're as dull and unperceptive as the rest of Israel, because they have the same sinful hearts. In chapter 6, verse 52, Mark tells us they did not understand about the loaves because their hearts were hardened. It's not just the Pharisees who have a heart problem. We all do, including the disciples. Even they, the ultimate insiders, can end up outsiders. Being asked by Jesus in chapter 8, verse 18, having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? It's tempting to feel frustrated with them, or even to make fun of them for being so slow. But the fact that even they can't see suggests that this is a blindness that we might be in danger of sharing. By reading Mark, we've seen and heard the same things as the disciples. Today, you have heard his voice. But how closely have we been listening? Perhaps you're someone who wouldn't yet call yourself a Christian. You've been coming along to IGG for the last few weeks. You felt frustrated by the disciples throughout the section. How can they be so slow? And yet, are you actually believing in Jesus yourself? Are you any better? You've seen the same things as they have. Today, you have heard his voice. And yet, just like the disciples, you might be seeing his revelation and missing the incredible truth right in front of you in the words of Mark's gospel. The same could go for us as Christians. Of course, we have come onto the inside. We want to hear from Jesus. Every week, we come to listen to his word. And yet, we still find it hard to listen to him, don't we? We have to struggle to understand his word. Like the disciples in the boat, we get distracted by everyday life. Even as the king is speaking, we're thinking about bread and food and grades and work and the concerns of day-to-day life. We're blind and dull because we have the same sinful hearts as well. Hearts which make it hard for us to listen to Jesus. Hearts which conceal the truth about him and make it impossible for us to see without someone helping us. We need a savior to rescue us, not just from death, but from our own spiritual blindness, our own inability to grasp the truth with the sinful hearts that we have. But before we discuss who might be able to do that, let's take some time to discuss in our groups.